Well, let's take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 again this evening. And I thank you for being with us. And it's been a good day already. And I'm excited about our vision together. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do in 2025. And I'm looking forward to exploring this idea of together, oneness through Christ. I'm looking forward to exploring that this year. And so this afternoon will be a different service. I don't actually have a sermon to preach. This will be more of a presentation, so I don't normally do that. But what I want to do is, when I started, well, let's read our passage, and then I'll get into this, kind of how I came about this idea, and then kind of how we're going to implement this over the next 12 months or so. So Ephesians 4, let's look at verse 1 together. The Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." So remember, we have a job to do, a vocation, and we need to walk worthy of it. And then he is going to describe to us what is necessary for us to carry out the mission. And as he describes it, what we find is he's describing unity. And so it's necessary that we have unity to do what he's called us to do. And so there's seven, remember, there's seven attributes or characteristics that yield themselves to unity. And then there's seven ones or examples given by which we are unified. So here they are: with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's your seven characteristics. Remember, so I told you I'm not going to preach. This is a pre-preach. Okay, we're just going to review the message from this morning. Make sure, I know you ate a lot of potatoes and all that stuff, and so let's just make sure we remember, unity takes lowliness, takes a humility, right? It's not about us, it's about him. And so lowliness, meekness, the willingness to yield, to the Lord as he leads, long-suffering and forbearing, the willingness to work together and to be a part of a body that, well, we saw that loaf this morning, there was leaven in there, right? There's still sin. We're still going to rub shoulders from time to time, and so we have to exercise long suffering and forbearing one another in love. Love has to be our motivation. The fact that we love God because he first loved us. And if we're serving the Lord for any other reason other than that at its foundation, I'm just telling you, it's not going to last. It's not going to persist. And so we serve because we love. We come and we give because we love. We show up because we love him. And, of course, we love him because he first loved us. The verse 3 gives us the next one, endeavoring. Endeavoring to keep the unity. That means we're going to have to work at it. Endeavoring is, it means it's like we're going to have to labor. It's going to be a work. It's going to be an effort, if you will, to keep unity. And it's the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And, again, so there's the admonition to be a peacemaker. And I said this morning, that's the sort of church members we need. Peacemaking, the Bible would describe them as gentle, right? Easy, love to follow the Lord. Again, that's what brings unity. And remember, unity is not just, it's not just getting along, is it? Did we learn that today? It's not just getting along. It's being a, what's the word that's in unity that we can see? It's being a unit, right? It's working together as the body, an organism that God can use for his glory. So I think the good illustration is that garage of car parts, right? If they're all for the same make and model, they already get along. But it's not till they're put together and there's gas in the engine that they do anything for the Lord. And so it's one thing to come and get along. It's another thing to be put together and given a direction and a purpose for the Lord's service. That is true unity. That's being a unit and serving the Lord together. Okay, then he gives us seven of these, I don't really know what to call them, ones. There is one body. We looked at this morning. There's one church. There's one as a Christian, guess what? You have the opportunity to serve in the Lord's church. That's it. And this is it. It's his church. There's one Spirit. We said this. The reason we have unity is because it's the unity of the Spirit. Well, if we all obey the Spirit and we all agree with him, then guess what? I don't fight you, because the Spirit doesn't give us differing views. The Spirit doesn't lead us differently. The Spirit will not lead us against His Word either. And so, again, one Spirit. One body, one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. Christian, we all have the same end goal. We all have the same hope for an eternal life in heaven, and the Lord coming back to getting us. And so, again, keeping that in view and in focus is important. We tend to focus on what's right in front of us on Monday morning. But it would be more important that we look ahead to see what God is trying to do in the big picture of our church. Then we have one Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one Savior, right? One Lord. He's our master. We can't have two masters. We get really messed up if we have two masters. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, that tries to rear its head is self. And so again, one Lord, one faith. One faith. This is the faith that was delivered unto the saints. It's the doctrine. One set of doctrines. And again, like I said this morning, doctrines cleave. They divide and they unify. It just depends whether you agree with the doctrine or not. So one faith, one baptism. One baptism. Well, we're baptized not to be saved, but we're baptized for identification, right? We're telling the church, hey, He saved me. Just like this, buried, risen. He saved me. But we're then identifying with our Lord. And so again, here's this part where here's where it comes into this idea of unity. If I'm serving in the church and my identity is wrapped up in the job that I'm doing, I can get real offended and bent out of shape when something about that particular job isn't like I want it, right? I don't like giving any examples because then you feel like you're talking about someone. You know, if there's a million people here, I would just do that. But like, let's just say my job in the church was ironing these curtains right here over the windows. Like that was what they said. That's what we'll let you do. We'll let you iron those curtains. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, nobody irons those. Okay, so I'm not talking about anybody. But if that was my job, I'm the curtain ironer at our church. Well, listen, if someone came in here and some kid at VBS threw a frisbee and knocked that curtain down, I could get real bent out of shape because I'm the curtain ironer, and those are my curtains. And how dare they even look at my curtains, you know, and this and that. You see how I could get bent out of shape? Because my identity is wrapped up in what I'm doing. We're not supposed to identify with that. I identify with Him, Jesus. I'm just here to serve Him. There, by the way, those are His curtains, not mine. So good. It works into the idea of unity. I know I'm preaching. I know I'm getting preachy, right? But just reviewing the things we looked at this morning. Okay, so one baptism, that's our identification. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we have this idea of togetherness, oneness. And whenever I started praying about, okay, Lord, what direction would you have us go this year? I was struck with the word together. The word together. And actually, I started with the word we'll look at the verse in a little bit, but out of Philippians 1:27. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. I was really thinking our theme would be striving together. And so I just start studying and praying about, okay, striving together. And then the Lord burdened my heart for not so much the striving part, but the together part. And so then I started studying together words, you know, words in the Bible that because there's a lot of words that you just go, don't Google. Go to like a search engine that searches through the scriptures, like a Blue Letter Bible or something like that. Just type in together and you'll see so many. Now, there's some that are negative, like when the Pharisees conspired together or something like that. But there's a lot of passages that deal with the church and it uses the language together, praying together, assembled together. And so I started studying those. And what I learned was those words are linked to these other words in the Bible, and they're what I'm calling the feller words, like fellowship. Do y'all know what that is? that's how old men say it for where I'm from. We're going to have a fellowship. Yes, is my mic not on? Oh, man, I'm so sorry, World Wide Web. All right, are we good now? I figure I'm loud enough they could probably hear me on the internet anyway. All right, we're good. Sorry about that, guys. Fellowship. Fellow words. And so I start studying all the fellow words. And what I learned, there's a few fellow words in the Bible. In fact, there's just enough of them that we can emphasize one a month from here until December. And they relate to the together words. So what we're doing is today, I just really emphasized unity. And so over the next 12 months, we're going to, one Sunday a month, we're going to have a focus day. And on the focus day, we're going to review our vision, and we're going to preach toward one of these fellow words or one of these together words. And I hope over the course of the year, we get a full and well-rounded idea of what true church unity is all about. And I think, I really do, I'm telling you, I've already prayed through, studied through, looked at a lot of these passages, and I'm excited about what God will share through some of this. God can do so much with a church that just says, God, here's our blank check, we're all yours, and we'll just do whatever you want. We're going to do it together because that's what you told us to do. Here's the check, you write it, and you tell us what you want us to do, and we're going to do it. God can do amazing things with a church like that. And so today, in the month of January, of course, we've had to move this because of weather. God knows all of that. But January was just going to be the word together. Oneness through Christ, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Just kind of exploring and learning what that word is. But now, there's 11 fellow words left that we're going to look at the next several months. So tonight, this is going to be more of a presentation of what is to come. And so, like I said, 1 month or 1 week of the month, we're going to have a preaching focus toward this. There are going to be some events throughout the year that will help reinforce some of the things that I'll be preaching through and teaching. But as I started to think about that, you can't really schedule unity, can you? Unity happens every day. So like right now, tomorrow, Wednesday, Valentine's Banquet, Grow, Revival, Missions Conference, we need it in every service, and we need it when we're at home tomorrow or at work tomorrow. So it's not like our calendar. We have some things planned that we'll try to emphasize some things. And okay, for example, well, I'll give you some examples as we run through it. We'll have a few things, but it's not as if, okay, February is fellowship, so we're going to have 10 fellowships in February. No, we're just going to learn about fellowship. We are going to have a couple fellowships in February, just as it turns out. But anyway, so I want to go through this with you. It'd be more of a presentation, something to look forward to and pray about. So the first one is in February, and we're gonna look at the word fellowship. And so the together phrase is assembling together. When you really look at fellowship, I know Brother Mark said you spell fellowship how? F-O-O-D. You spell fellowship F-O-O-D, and we certainly do. And I don't disagree with you, Brother Mark. We do. Enjoyed a potato myself today. My kids were looking at me because I usually don't eat lunch if I'm preaching. And they said, you're eating today? I said, I'm not preaching. I'm giving a presentation. So I'm going to go ahead and eat. But yeah, but fellowship, go look in your Bible every time you see, and this is what we'll do in February. When you see the word fellowship, you know what they were doing? They were assembling. You don't fellowship with people you don't like to get around. You don't. You want me to give some examples? No, we won't give examples. No, fellowship is, hey, we can get together and we can serve the Lord together. And so the keys that month that we're going to be stressing, and we'll look at Hebrews 10:25, where it talks about assembling together. And so the month of February will very much be about our faithfulness, our attendance, but more than attendance, our participation. Because you can come every week and not participate. So again, that's what we'll look at. That'll be it. So the thrust will be all in for the Lord, making Jesus first place and first priority. If the doors to the church are open, we're going to be there and we're going to participate. We are going to serve him to the best of our ability. And when I started this, I was really praying about this one. And I thought, what is it that in a person, when they just decide, I am going to be there, I'm going to attend, I'm going to participate. What is it in a person when they make that decision? What has changed in their heart? And you know what it is? It's they've just decided they're going to put Jesus first. And so on Sunday afternoons, we're going through Colossians. The series title is Christ First. And the reason we're going through Colossians is because the whole book of Colossians is a message to us that we should put Christ first in our lives. And so that's February. In March, we're going to look at the word striving together for the faith of the gospel. I was supposed to turn to Hebrews 10:25. I didn't. Let's look up a verse on each of these if we can. Let's look at Philippians 1, 27. And there are tons of verses on all of these. We're just going to whet the appetite today. Is it whet the appetite or whet the appetite with a W-H? W-H? Okay, so let's do that. What are we doing? Philippians 1 in verse 27. Look what it says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So what's the context of this verse? The gospel, right? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind. There's that unity stuff. Striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. This verse is about soul winning. It's about getting out there and coming together to get the message out there through outreach, through our testimony. And so the fellow word that lines up with that is the word fellow laborer. When you study the word fellow laborer, you're going to see Paul mentioning his fellow laborers that labored with him in the gospel. It's very interesting. That word fellow laborer, again, you can labor in a lot of things, but when Paul mentions fellow laborer, he's usually talking about his soul winning partners. And so in March, we're going to emphasize that. And in March, we have our friend day that'll be coming up. And so does anyone in here have any friends? I'm working pretty hard to get some, but it's tough going. But I could ask some friends to come, but they'd have to drive a long ways. Anyway, Friend Day's March. So we're going to have this emphasis, striving together for the gospel. Get your friends here. I had this thought. If every one of us this year would just get one person to come to church, we'd double our church. Have you ever thought about that? If everyone in here would just get one person, you got 12 months, get one person to come, we'd double our church just like that. We'd have to be talking about new pews and stuff because we wouldn't know where to put them all. Just if we got one. So striving together, fellow labor. We got opportunities this year, Grow, Friend Day, Men's Breakfast, Ladies' Meetings, Man Up Conference, Ladies' Conference, Revival, Marriage Conference, King's Kids, regular church services, and much, much more. In the month of April, we're looking at these words, raised up together. This is an exciting one. Look at Ephesians 2 with me. Ephesians chapter number 2. Raised up together. What happens in April is Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to focus on these words, raised up together. Ephesians 2, and look at verse number 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to preach it right now, but you realize those words are present tense. Jesus has raised us up together and has made us to sit together in heavenly places. You've been given new life. And listen, you've been given new citizenship. The phrase raised up together is linked to this fellow word, fellow citizens. You're in Ephesians 2 and verse number 6. Look over to verse 19. Same context, same teaching. Just a continuation. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The day I got saved, my citizenship was moved from this world to his world, right? This world to heaven. I have a heavenly citizenship. So we're going to look at what happens if I'm a citizen of heaven. I can't live like I'm a citizen of the world anymore. So what's the emphasis? Well, God changes us. Sanctification. Fellow citizens raised up together. New life, new creature. All those things. All right, then we're going to look at May. You're going to love this one. May, fighting together. Oh, yeah. We're going to be... I have a friend who, he got into wrestling. And he called me. I was preaching in Plainview still. And he called me and he's like, hey, can we come and have a wrestling match at your church? And I was like, no, we don't do that. We don't do that here. And he's like, oh, well, we'll kind of share the gospel after it's over. It's like, yeah, we still don't do that here. So when I say fighting together, I'm not talking about that. In fact, I'm not even talking, I hope that I'm not talking about fighting together. I hope I'm talking about fighting together out there. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And you'll notice a lot of these words are in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Do you know what those books are called? Those are called the church epistles. Those are letters written to the church. All right, so That's where they are. Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 25. Fighting together. Look at what Paul calls Epaphroditus. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and what? Fellow soldier. What does a soldier do? Fight. Fellow soldier. But your messenger and he that ministered to my want. So fellow, fighting together, those words are synonymous with this idea of being a fellow soldier. Ephesians has the armor of God. You have to put on armor if you're going to go into battle. And so we'll probably look at that. And so in May, we're going to be fighting together. Month of June, we're going to look at this idea, following together. Following together. John 11:16. We don't have to turn to this one. It's just a mention of the word a fellow disciple. But the idea is, and it references Thomas in that verse, but it was like Thomas and his fellow disciples. The idea is that we're all learning of Jesus together. A disciple is a committed follower, a learner of Jesus. And so we're all learning of Jesus together. And so we'll reemphasize discipleship. We've gone through our discipleship program. Many of you did. I'm glad that you did. I'm praying by June, we have more people who want to go through discipleship. And so you kind of pray ahead and you're like, Lord, give us some more folks who need to grow. And by the time we get there, we'll see. But we'll emphasize discipleship. That whole idea of iron sharpening iron. We reemphasize our own spiritual growth. Listen, we completed discipleship, but your growth is not done, is it? You should still be growing. And you should be looking for those that you can help to grow in our church. Got a couple of sermon series. I don't want to mention them because I don't know which way I'm going just yet. I'm still wrestling, but I got a couple things that I want to do on maybe Wednesday night that would be more like Bible study for those who really like to Bible study and really dig in. And so that would be a great place where, hey, I've gone through discipleship. Now I want to learn more about the Bible and kind of what God's Word says. And so we may do some more intensive Bible studies on Wednesday nights. Anyway, following together, again, that word is fellow disciple. The month of July, had to put this one here because it's VBS month. So fellow servant. You know what we need for VBS? We need a bunch of servants that are just willing to serve and give it all for these kiddos. And so fellow servant. The idea again, serving together. So we'll focus in this month. Look at Colossians. Sorry, I keep forgetting to go to places. Go to Colossians chapter number 7. Colossians 7. Colossians 4. If you have Colossians 7, please buy a new Bible. You have the wrong one. Colossians 4, verse 7. There it is. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Minister means servant and fellow servant in the Lord. So we'll emphasize in July areas to serve in the local church and the idea that we're serving together. So opportunities to serve in a church are pretty much endless. But we'll try in the month of July really to emphasize the need to be involved. That doesn't mean you have to wait till July. You're like, okay, good. Come around July, I'll get involved, you know. We could use help like right now. Be fine. You know, nursery, cleaning, bus, Sunday school, children's church, VBS, door greeters, one day maybe ushers, choir. We had a good group at choir today, Brother Mark. And we could use more voices in the choir. You know, if everyone just came up here and sang in the choir and there was just nobody out there, that'd be okay. Y'all come and sing in the choir. It's a place you can serve. You say, I can't sing. Good, you'll fit in with all of us. Just come sing. Choir, grounds, maintenance, projects, service ministries, church library, visitation. I could go on. We got a lot of stuff, a lot of places you can serve. Let's go to August. Here's the problem. When I don't have a sermon to preach, I could really get to just talking. And so I'm trying to keep moving. The next one is this, bearing together. The month of August, bearing together. And we find an interesting word in the Bible. Go to Philippians 4. And are you already in? No, you're in Colossians 4. Philippians 4. And look at verse number 3. This is the word yoke fellow. It has nothing to do with eggs. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers. There's another fellow word. Whose names are in the book of life. The idea of a yoke is the idea of bearing burdens together. A yoke is something you put on an oxen, and you put two of them in there, or actually you can put several oxen in a big yoke, but it's so that they can pull and bear burdens together. And so we are commanded in the scriptures to bear together, bear you one another's burdens. Not only that, the church membership is, including the pastor, including myself here, we are charged with bearing the burden of the church. And that's from all the service of the church, the financial responsibility of the church, the ministry of the church, all these different aspects. So whether it's from, when I was studying this thought, I thought of this. The church structure is self-sustaining. That's how God created it. We give a certain amount that God wants us to give, and that will sustain the work. That's if God came up with a plan, that's it. It's also self-protecting, right? The church, if everyone's doing their job and on the ball, then there's unity is kept. The church is also self-propagating, meaning that we, as we grow up members, those members grow out and they go out. And so, again, that's all involved in this bearing one another. So we'll emphasize things like praying for one another, lifting each other up, maybe perhaps even some visitation-type ministries to make sure we're encouraging the brethren, but also just teaching that we need to share the responsibility of the church. And again, it's not, I don't want to preach or get into it tonight, but you would never go to a sporting event and just assume that it was, you know, free, right? And that, you know, the concessions would be free. And you're like, hey, I brought those potatoes or whatever. You know, I'm preaching the choir. But I think a lot of times we come to church and we think, hey, we're just coming, we're enjoying, and we go home. And what God wants is participation. You know, he expects the members to uphold the church structure. And by the way, I include myself in that. If I don't do those things, I can't expect you to. And so none of us, it's we're all members here of our church. So bearing together. Let's look at September. September is partnering together. September, we have our missions conference. I'm very excited to have Brother J.D. Wido coming up here all the way from Arkansas. And that's Arkansas for some of you. And he's going to be coming up, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. You're going to absolutely love him. And the presentation he gives and the preaching is going to help us focus on missions and missions giving. We're going to have a missions conference with him, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8:23, because this idea of fellow helper, so again, partnering together, and then our fellow word is fellow helper. All right, 2 Corinthians 8, here's the reason I'm using this one in particular, because you say, well, what does fellow helper have to do with partnering together and missions? Okay, well, let's look. 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. So there's both words right there. Partnering together and fellow helper. Partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So he's calling him one of the messengers of the churches. But what was Titus to Paul? Paul was a missionary that sent missionaries. Did you know that? So Paul sent Titus, I've left you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Titus was a pastor sent by Paul. That's partnering. He's saying, hey, Crete's got a problem. I can't get there. I'm sending you. That's missions. And so that month we're going to emphasize missions. We can't be everywhere. We can't go to Italy, and we can't go to India, and we can't be in all those places, but we can sure enough send, and we can send financially to make sure some of these missionaries can be on the field and stay on the field. And so we're going to take that month and talk about partnering together. We've got 24 missionaries right now that we partner with financially. We send money to every month, and we try to have a part in their ministry that way. I have four folders in my office right now that if we had the money, we would support them tomorrow because they're doing phenomenal works. And I want to partner with them, but we need to grow. And I understand that because there's always going to be some works we can't do because of where we are. That's fine. But as we grow, I want to partner with more. And so the idea is partnering together, being a fellow helper. Okay, let's look at October. October, comforted together. And the word is fellow prisoner. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 10, Paul refers to, well, let's look over there, Ephesians, because I can't remember who he was referring to now that I'm... Colossians 4 and verse 10. You notice these are like at the end of these books sometimes where he's just listing all of his partners in the ministry, but he's got these different labels for them. Fellow prisoner, Colossians 4:10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive the commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. So here's a fellow prisoner. We could look at a verse in Romans 1. We'll do it in when we get to October. But in Romans, this idea of being comforted together, that's the idea of fellow prisoner. You're in the fire with your brother in Christ. And everyone in here has probably got some battle that they're going through. If we were to look, just recognize for a minute that each of us are enduring something. And so we need to work together to uphold one another and so we can help others to endure. And so we want to be encouragers. We want to be prayer warriors. We want to be present for our brothers and sisters in need. We want to pray for one another when that's what they need, be there and those kinds of things. And I really think that's what Paul was saying when he's talking about Aristarchus, is that he was my fellow prisoner. I wasn't there alone. He was there in the trial with me. And so we'll talk about enduring some trials together. Are you seeing how unity is not just, hey, let's just get along? There's a lot to it. Let's look at November. November is working together. Working together. The word is fellow worker. And yes, it does have two W's, no matter how weird that looks. Look at Colossians 4. Are we already in Colossians 4? Let's look at verse 11. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. We're going to focus this month on not just working. We're covering that in other areas. Here we're going to really focus on this idea, cooperation. Cooperation. They say in a marriage, one of the better ways to end your marriage quickly is to do a home renovation project, right? And it's not because there's not work to do. There's plenty of work to do, and you can both work and get after it. It's that, are you cooperating in the work? And so, again, we'll talk about that. My wife and I are building a house right now, so you should pray for us because we're about to start picking paint colors and all that. I know. No. Let me just help y'all. What? No. I'll just help you. I don't pick anything. That's how I do it. I just don't pick anything. Cooperation. So for me to cooperate, there's this nasty word we don't like. It's called deference. That means I'm not getting my way. I'm going to let someone else have their way. Deferring. Yeah? On things that don't mean anything, we should be willing to defer. It's just all there is to it. For the sake of cooperation. Because again, what's our hope? We all have a singular hope. We all have the same goal. Okay, so fellow worker working together, that's November. And then we're going to end the year on an exciting note. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. Doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, unfortunately. But it's the last month of the year. And so I wanted to save this one for the end. It's this word, fellow heir. fellow heir, and we'll look at being glorified together. There's an end to all this, right? The Lord comes back for his saints. We have a eternal home in heaven and many eternal promises. So the word is fellow heir, glorified together. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 6. That does not look like the right verse. Oh, it is there. I was looking at the wrong page. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It's an amazing thing to think about. You're a co-heir with Christ. If you're saved, I don't even really know. I don't really know how to explain that or to even understand it. But apparently all that the Father had promised him, he now promises us through that gospel. And so in December, we're going to end it on a really high note, glorified together, looking at the eternal promises that we had. So this year, 2025, together. And so what I'd like to do now, I'm going to end this, but what I'd like to do now is just take a time of prayer. And so I'm just going to encourage you to pray where you're at, maybe there with your family, if you want to pray alone, if you want to use the altars. And here's what I'd like you to pray for. And I know there's a lot of things we could be praying for, but I just want you to pray this year that God helps us to get it together, right? And please, I said this morning. We're not coming at this because we're addressing issues or problems. But when I started studying unity, what I figured out is, oh, it's a lot more than I thought. And God really wants to congeal us, I said, like a bowl of jello, right? So that he can use us. He wants to make us that loaf of bread that he can then pass out to the lost and dying world. And so let's pray together specifically for our church. And then I'll come up and pray, dismiss us after that, and then we'll go home. All right? So we'll give you some time.